Drunk on Comics, special edition, stoners versus drunks, blunts versus bottles, lungs versus livers, herbs versus hops, drunk on comics versus an elegant weapon.
Yeah, dude.
All right, guys. I'm
good times.
Yeah, I'm Derek. That was Tony. We got Kevin here.
Hey.
We are with Drunk on Comics, and you guys, we have the Jedi Ross and Potato Waste from an Elegant Weapon podcast.
Hello, hello, kids.
Stoked to be on,
It's
man.
Stoked to be here. Speaking of stoking, we can get underway. As usual, we have our little opening ceremony. Today, we're going to make things a little bit different.
I saw that on Twitter.
I'm going to pop this cap right here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I believe you've already popped your cider there. Cheers, my friend.
Cheers.
By the way, you guys will appreciate, since I'm the only one with a bottle in here, I'm going to toast myself. So,
but not to be completely off track, allow me to flick my Vic.
Yeah, I was waiting for this. But yeah, I saw Potato Waste, like, first time in a liquor store in 13 years?
Yeah, man.
Wow. Yep.
Yeah, well, I've been diabetic for 13 years, so I've been out of the liquor store for 13 years.
Well, I'm diabetic, and I'm in the liquor store every day.
Don't confuse the gentleman, though, by saying that you haven't not ever had a drink in 13 years.
Oh, no, I shouldn't say that. I
oh,
say
so
that.
What, okay. What you're saying is you just go to the bar, pay full retail price and mark up then.
When I do drink, yeah, which is still rare, yeah.
Yeah, so this is our first cross pod.
That's really exciting for you guys. It's awesome. We're very honored to be your first cross pod guest.
Yeah, I was shocked to hear that.
Yeah, so, well, you know, I mean, most of the stuff that we've done have been, like, you know, real, like, live in-person interviews, and it wasn't until last week when we did our first, you know, Skype interview that we finally got the bugs and kinks worked out before that. So, you know, we're, like, official and shit now. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. We did... did our first one back when we didn't know what we were doing at all either with the Next Element, and it turned out great. We had a great old time, but then that's kind of where the whole podcast network spawned out of too, is just we all were guesting so much.
Oh, okay.
Being at each other's shows, and we all got so tight, it kind of just made sense that the next logical step was, let's just, like, put all our shows on one site and keep on doing what we're doing.
We're about, what, 7 months old now?
About 7 months, yeah.
How old has your podcast been going on?
Year and a half.
Year and a half.
Yeah, because you guys were what, episode 52 was the last one?
Episode 54.
54, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's amazing how the time flies by, but it's been a year of just having a blast, you know? We started out just one night, turned on the iPhone, literally, hit record on voice memo, and started having a conversation. we sparked one up. We had a conversation. We figured out Podbean, and we stuck it on there with hardly any editing, I believe.
I don't think so, yeah. Maybe a bat spin or two.
And then over, like, a couple weeks, we had, like, three people who were sticking by us. We didn't really – well, we didn't care. Like, we were doing it to, like, you know, get all big and everything. We just wanted to do it for fun.
Yeah,
that's
and then
exactly
there was the tiniest
same thing
few
with us.
People – yeah, who were actually just kind of went for the ride, and it just grew from there. You guys, though, I must take my hat off, because you guys just exploded onto the scene. You guys became everybody's favorite podcast in no time.
Yeah. Well, see, what you guys said, though, where you guys just had a blunt and were talking, that's what me and Derek were just having some beers and talking.
Well, where we stemmed from, for your listeners, is, you know, we'd get together and hang out at night at the bar, and we'd sit there and fucking talk comic books because, you know, we're fanboys, we're nerds, you know? And the conversation would always go into that. The great thing was that, you know, I started listening to podcasts, and after about 6-8 months of listening to podcasts, I'm like, Tony and I are talking, and, like, we're having these conversations. I'm like, why the fuck are we not recording this? You know?
Yeah.
I'm like, who cares if anybody listens? What we talk about, enough people out there are already listening to similar things, but, you know, we wanted to throw a little comedy and a little booze into it, you know, and and just kind of have everybody be sitting at the bar with us is basically how it turned out. So,
do you guys find that it gets a tiny bit addictive and you almost want to record every good time conversation you're having with anybody?
What I find is that I will tell Tony, I don't want to talk to you about this right now. Hold off until we record.
Yeah.
Or what I found when we're out, I've been like, oh, we should totally talk about this later, and then we forget because we're out drinking. So now when we say we should talk about that, we both tell each other,
Take out your phone and write it down, or
yeah, put it in the memo. We text it to each other. You know? So there's like multiple things on there. So all right, guys, let's chat some movies here, because there's some big fanboy movies on both sides of the aisle here. And so you guys know, because I mean, I don't know if I've really told you about us. Tony's read some of the EU, or you know, for listeners that don't know what that is, extended universe. Kevin. You got
You're speaking Greek to me, man. Extended universe, what?
Yeah, like the books and the comics and the video games and all that shit. Not the what do you guys call it?
Movies.
Well, yeah, what's that term? The canon.
Canon.
Yeah.
Canon.
Movies are canon. You know, everything else outside that is extended universe. So we got this new movie coming out from Disney.
Really?
Toy Story 4?
Dude, you know the toy marketing is going to be ridiculous on that. But, yeah, so you got Episode 7 coming up. I heard a little bit of your guys' podcast here. You seem pretty excited about it.
I'm thrilled about it.
My excitement grows daily.
Your excitement does grow daily, mm-hmm. Because I think you've recently been getting more into the expanded universe.
Oh, big time.
Big time, which makes it exciting that stuff could be included in this.
Say, I'm in talks with the expanded universe.
Those negotiations seem to be going pretty well for you.
Yeah.
So right now you're like a fuck buddy with the expanded universe?
Yeah. Exactly.
Nice.
We're going to see if it becomes a relationship.
Hey,
for me, there's a pre-existing relationship because I was a huge Losty, and J.J. Abrams. I've always been mad about J.J. Abrams, and just the fact that actually happened, I still don't believe in a way. I'm still a little beside myself that this is actually happening.
Why? Because you don't? Were you saying what? You don't like J.J. or you?
No, I love him. I can't believe that these two things are coming together.
Oh yeah, I know. It's one of those things that I think they mentioned it, like maybe when they first announced making another movie, like his name was like rumored, and everyone's like, that's just a rumor. There's no fucking way.
You guys were talking about this actually the other night on your last podcast.
Yep, yeah. It's JJ does this, and it's so great. He'll fuck with you. And he was like, no, I'm not doing it. I want no part of it. I want to be in the audience. And he knew then. There's no way that it happened after that. He's just... It's the same reason that I was saying the other night why we still don't know if Benedict Cumberbatch is Khan or not. He's that good at keeping a secret.
For the Star Trek movie.
Yeah, and he wanted to keep it a surprise, a fun surprise. So that he's like, oh, yeah, no, I am doing it.
Okay, now, you guys got your finger on the pulse a little bit more of the Star Wars, you know, fandom. You think, like, is there some backlash with... A Star Trek guy, like somebody who has already done Star Trek, kicking over to the Star Wars side?
On the Star Trek side, there is.
Oh!
There's a lot of them feeling abandoned right now.
Yeah.
He chose the bigger, better, you know, franchise kind of thing.
Like, yeah, but you'd think those Star Trek fans would be used to abandonment by now.
they just need a new home.
They're like all protest and just they're start wearing like nothing but red shirts.
Yeah, they're all wearing red shirts.
That's hilarious.
Nice.
Yeah, I've heard a lot how, you know, a lot of the original Trekkies didn't like what he did with it, but overall they all loved it, and I think a few people just feel like he's not showing Star Trek the respect it deserves mainly, but which is a load of crap. Look how much he put into it. He put more fan-type stuff and tricks into that movie than any movie made before it as far as Star Trek.
That movie was... By far, probably the best reboot I've ever seen.
Yeah, it blew away though. I thought the TNG movies.
Oh yeah.
Hands down.
The TNG movies seem to me like you know the NBC movie of the week version of
still looked like TV.
Yeah, I mean they were fun and good, but I mean it was like you know.
You want something epic with your fucking movies?
Yeah. Yeah,
and I don't think they didn't really deliver.
Yeah, you know, I mean, especially with Star Trek, I was hoping to see some alien boobs, but you know, it's never going to happen.
Now, how many Next Generation movies did they make?
Four,
five,
too many.
Four,
yeah.
Four or five.
Generation.
I like First Contact. First Contact.
Five.
Cool. I think four or five, something like
First
that.
Contact,
Insurrection killed it.
Wait, Kevin's counting down. What
no,
do you got?
No, you got then Insurrection. Wait, that was the last one. And then there was one in between First Contact and
Generations?
Yeah, no, that was the first one. First Contact. Mm. And then, guys, the one where they went there, this is basically the planet was the Fountain of Youth.
Oh, yeah. That
Wait,
was...
that's Insurrection. The last one was Nemesis.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Nemesis, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, the one Tom where they Hardy. Went to that Fountain of Youth, man, I don't know, like, I saw that in the theater, and all I could think of the whole time watching it is it looked like it should have been a Buck Rogers TV show. Like, and don't get me wrong, I love Buck Rogers, but, you know.
Yeah.
Did we get Buck Rogers up here?
Yeah, did you watch? I was a big Buck Rogers fan.
We had Flash Gordon.
What was his name? It was Gil Gerard?
Gil Gerard. And actually, last year when we were at Motor City, because we used to volunteer at the convention before we started the podcast, and this year we're going as the podcast, Kevin's job on the day that we volunteered was he got to sit with Erin Gray all day long.
Yeah, it was seven hours hanging out with her.
Yeah.
That was a treat.
But the best part was... No, yeah, there's two best parts, but the one I won't mention. But the best part... we'll share this one with you guys offline. The best part with Kevin's interview, his volunteering time, was when she started singing the Silver Spoons theme song, or Kevin did. And she... Did you start singing it, or did she?
No, she did.
She started singing it, and Kevin started singing along with her.
Nice backup.
That's great.
Yeah. She is awesome, by the way.
Doesn't kind of she look beautiful, though?
Well, what's that?
Doesn't she look... She's at all our cons. I've never spoken to her, but I see her every year at Fan Expo and stuff, and she looks amazing.
She does. She really does. You know,
a little bit older and stuff, but still a beautiful woman.
Oh, I mean, spending 7 hours with her, I learned a lot about her. I mean,
inside and out.
No.
I had no idea. She was the very first L'Oreal model.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was just crazy. And then she has an equally hot daughter. Woohoo, hachi machi.
Oh, she showed you pictures?
Yeah.
I was gonna say if she was there and you didn't introduce me, I was gonna be pissed.
Grace, like, look at my hot daughter.
Yeah. Yeah. She might have said that.
Check out my daughter's tubes. So. All right, so we've got some movie news, and on our side of the aisle. Actually, before we do that, I want to go back to the Star Wars. Our friends, the Illuminati, which I think you guys know from Twitter, they put up a cool little article here last week about, you know, the top five things that they want to see in the new movie. Their number five was go easy on the vets, you know, like Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill. Have them in there, but don't have them be, like, the main... focus of the movie.
I agree.
Yeah. You know, and they put a great thing in there, as long as Han Solo's not going, get off my Millennium Falcon.
I almost want them to even just recast them now. With how bad they look.
Well, they would have to shape up. I was saying that the other night. I mean, Mark Hamill still looks good, but in the past 5 or 6 years, he's put on some pounds.
Yeah.
And but if he grows his nice thick beard, he can grow and lose the weight. I think he can pull off Grandmaster.
Well, and if Carrie Fisher grows...
He can totally pull off a Jedi robe.
Well, yeah, and if Carrie Fisher can grow that beard too, she'll be fine. So, now their number four here was a new Jedi Order, you know, and they're talking, you know, like... Mara Jade, you know, and other people being in there, you know, which I was cool with that. Speaking of JJ, their number three was some Easter eggs.
Easter eggs and what? Say again.
Yeah, JJ Abrams with the Easter eggs. You know how he throws all that shit hidden in the background.
Oh, sorry, you just reminded me. I wanted to say that about Star Trek before. Was even the most hardcore knowledgeable Star Trek fan. There was something he threw into that movie for even them that no one else on Earth got, but, like, the one guy was like, holy crap, that's from that or something. You know what I mean? So him, the way he could do that was Star Wars, seeing as how well he even knows it, and its expanded universe is vastly larger than Star Trek.
Yeah.
So Easter eggs, he'll throw some nutty stuff in there, I'm sure.
Now, their number two on their list of five was Keep George Lucas Away. And you guys had a great conversation with Christy the other night where she is like, she thinks Lucas is going to be really involved. And I got to agree with you guys. I think Lucas is going to be there as a resource. I mean, he sold the shit.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would say keep him the fuck away from that, and don't let him have anything to do with casting, because, you know, if he had anything to do with casting on the original three, Jesus.
Yeah. Well, this You'll have Palpatine smiling for another 2 hours.
Yeah. Now, something that I read online about directors, there's technical directors and there are actor directors, meaning there's people who look at the sets, like George Lucas, technical director, but doesn't know how to work with the actors, where JJ is an actor. He gets the best out of the performances. He doesn't need to worry about the background and stuff. There's tons of people for that. But as a director, you need to get your actors to actually act. And after reading that, made me realize, fuck, this is going to be the best Star Wars ever.
Yeah, hands down, because it's also... that's why he is, and you can compare him in a Spielbergian way, is that Spielberg's the same way. He gets incredible acting, and his techniques are flawless. And the combination is beautiful most of the time, unless you throw once in a while some stupid crystal skulls in there or something. Things go off track, but that's what's going to be – that's why you're right. This will be the best, because JJ's going to be the first one to look at both sides of everything. That's why it'll be very – you know. Empire. JJ said he wants people to feel this movie, you know? He wants it to make an emotional impact more than like... And I'm one of those dreaded guys who's a fan of the prequels.
Really?
And I understand... Well, here's what it is. It's not that I'm... See, we have to take this to a base thing. I am not a Star Wars movie fan.
Okay.
I am about Jedis and lightsabers, which just, you know, that's in the Star Wars universe. So hence I know a lot. I own 76 lightsabers. Okay, I read furiously about Jedi history. I'm always on Wikipedia, just studying Jedi shit.
No, have you given some away?
I have given some away. Occasionally, it happens. And you know, kids and stuff. I'm a softie sometimes.
All right. Well, wait. Total side note, because I mean, fuck, this is just a nerd roundtable. So, what is the most expensive lightsaber you own?
Oh, this is exciting.
Good question.
He's not even going to believe this. This came up a few...
Is it new?
No, this came up before.
It's not even the newest?
This came up before on a previous podcast. Uh-oh. This right here is a droids. Remember the cartoon droids?
Yeah.
This is a lightsaber that was made from the cartoon droids.
It's still in the box? That's
still
awesome.
Still in the box. It's got... a couple stickers on it. You can see the lowering in price. It went from $7.99 to $5.99, down from $12.99. It kept dropping. But here's the thing. This is really cool. It's still in the package. And, like, you know, it's just simple. It's a little, like, blade that pops out. But if you see on the box here, it's purple.
Yeah.
This one's green.
Okay.
Very, very, very rare. So not only is it rare that it's still in the box, but it's rare that it's a green one.
Okay.
And this cost me almost $400.
What?
Yeah.
So
even when the sticker price is going down?
If these stickers weren't on it, yeah, you could probably add another $100.
See, never mind. That's a whole separate topic.
That's one of the prizes pretty much of my collection there.
And fucking Sean's just shaking his head.
But that's my most expensive by far. Like, it's not like that's on average. You know, I have a lot of, like, the master replicas you see and the Power of the Force toys.
Yeah.
And, you know, and stuff like that.
I do want to play the battleship. I keep saying it.
He's a big fan. I have this electronic galactic battleship Star Wars game, and he's dying to play it and podcast at the same time.
Nice.
But get, like, another game going, too, so you get, like, two games going. So, like...
you could have cameras on all the sides, and we could actually do it on YouTube, and it could be like watching a chess match.
Oh, fuck that. We're going to do that via Skype. We're going to play some fucked up game with you that there'll be you have to drink or smoke every time, you know, you fuck up or something like that. So one last thing on the Illuminati, they're number one that they wanted. And they're like, yeah, it's a long shot. And yeah, it's kind of weird and crazy. And we know it won't happen, but it'd be fun to kind of see if it could be done. Star Trek, Star Wars crossover.
Can't happen.
Well...
It's no. There's two fundamental reasons why this can never, ever happen.
Okay.
Okay? Unless you want to bring in extreme time travel.
But, I'm going to say bring in Doctor
because
Who.
Because Star Wars takes place... Well, Doctor Who is space, time, and dimension, right?
Yeah.
So he was able to do that hopping around. But in Star Trek, which is the future from us now,
yep,
and Star Wars was a long time ago.
In a galaxy,
far away.
Far,
far away. So how, just the fundamental, that's fundamentally, it can't work.
Yeah, but you know what? If Captain Kirk can go back and hump some whales back in 1984, you know, by looping around the sun and while Superman's making the Earth spin backwards, why not?
Yeah. Well, you know, it also lends, yeah, it also could actually work the other way, because if it does say a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, that is referencing us as the beginning point, right?
Yeah.
So Earth does exist in the Star Wars universe.
But, you know, here, actually, I just thought of this. What would be awesome, J.J. Abrams, with his Easter eggs, is the Star Trek movie, they go and explore this planet, and they find, like, some ancient artifacts of a droid that happens to look like R2-D2, perhaps.
That's honestly the only way I could see them doing anything cross. It's just the aspects of both those movies and worlds are just way too different, though.
Yeah. So, yeah. But anyway, yeah, big shout out to the Illuminati on that, because that was a great article that they
put. Let me just say also on that, I didn't get a chance, when you're talking about how they want the Jedi Order in there.
Yeah.
I think it would be a very, very smart idea to skip ahead far enough that it's a new generation, you know, like,
yes,
Jason and Jaina and Anakin. Although, you know, that story doesn't end up too good for a lot of them in the end.
yeah, well, that's news to us.
It's a good way to start off.
Trust me, if you're interested,
that's,
yeah, it's
what I'm saying.
What I think they should honestly do, and is there's the story Legacy. You're familiar with the comics, the Legacy series?
I heard, okay, of them.
Legacy is a couple generations after Luke Skywalker. It's Luke Skywalker's, like, great-grandkids.
Okay.
And Cade Skywalker is that day's present Skywalker. The universe has been retaken by this guy Darth Crate, who used to be a Jedi hundreds of years ago. All this Force shit happened. He survived. He made an army of Sith. So the Empire is now an army of Sith, and the few tiny Jedi that are left are trying to convince Cade Skywalker to, like, take up his destiny and lead the Jedi and blah, blah, blah. And kill Darth Crate, right? So that is the most recent point in the Star Wars universe, is actually this Cade Skywalker trying to kill Darth Crate, which I think happens in the end, but trying to wipe out this new Sith army.
See, now here, but, well, wait, how can there be a Sith army? I thought there can only be two.
He declared that rule null.
Oh.
He said no. He said I.
So he had an executive order.
What it's called now is the One True Sith. He calls the entire order is called the One True Sith, meaning they are all one under his direction. So
okay.
This is his,
maybe he just had a list and it was the One True Fifth, but.
So I think that would be cool. You got a little band of a couple, you know, Jedis being led by their older guys, and this guy comes back, takes up his mantle, becomes a Jedi like his forefathers, and has to fight hundreds of Sith. You know how many cool Sith you could put in that movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I just thought of the best Easter egg that JJ could do in the Star Wars universe. They take off a Stormtrooper's helmet and gear, and it reveals a red shirt.
Well, yeah, because obviously red shirts can't shoot either. So,
hey, don't forget E.T. was in The Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
that is
so
right.
That's kind of a galaxy crossover.
So all it takes is a handshake, really, to get fucking Picard now, into Star Wars.
Pretty much.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So wait a minute.
Some
Riker. Now, I got to ask you guys. I heard this a while ago, and I don't know if this is truth or if this is, like, just awesome, like, fan, like, rumor. That back when Star Wars was coming out and Close Encounters was coming out, that Spielberg and Lucas made a bet. Have you heard of this?
No.
This sounds vaguely familiar.
Okay,
go
this
on.
Was on Cracked.com, and it was talking about, like, how celebrities love to gamble and shit like that. They made a bet that whoever's movie did better, that the other person, because Lucas was dead set that Star Wars was going to be a fucking flop, and he thought Close Encounters was going to be the biggest damn movie ever. And so Spielberg and Lucas made a bet that for life, whichever movie was better, that there was, like, the other person would get 12% of the profits that person, like, so, like,
you know, I think you're right, because I do know for a fact that Spielberg has a percentage in Star Wars,
yeah,
for some weird reason. That's
and
probably it.
Yeah, and so, yeah. Like, so basically, like, once a month, like, you know, Lucas is sending Spielberg a check with, like, in the memo field, like, going, fuck you, dick.
Yeah. You know? Nice. My favorite story between the two of them from all that stuff, though, is they're sitting on a beach. They both, you know, waiting for Star Wars and Close Encounters to come out, and they went on vacation together, and they're hanging out on a beach somewhere, and Spielberg turns to Lucas and says, you know, I've always wanted to direct a James Bond movie. That'd be awesome. Lucas turns to him and says, I got something better. Hence Indiana Jones.
Ooh.
That's how that happened. And that's, they've both told that story, and that's probably one of my favorite stories. It's fun.
That I like, and that's a great image, you know, Spielberg and Lucas canoodling on a beach. So
all cocktail.
Alright, guys. So movie news from our side. X-Men First Class. Days of Futures Past. Are you guys fans of this shit?
Concerned fans? Well, I'm a concerned fan.
Okay. Well, the first thing is that there's rumors that Kitty Pryde's character is going to be a much larger role in this one, which if they do follow the comics at all, it should be.
So, it would make sense.
Yeah, and they've already confirmed Ellen Page is in this, which, you know, I'm thrilled because, like, I mean, I felt dirty when she was Kitty Pryde in that, you know, in that. But, like, I mean, Kitty is one of my favorite characters, and Ellen Page in that leather, even though she was young, I was like, damn it, you know.
Yeah. Well, she's proof she can carry a movie, right?
Well, for the most part. I mean, you know. I mean, Juno's awesome, but, you know, it's like, I don't think Kitty Pryde was never, like, that snarky, condescending type girl, you know. So
it's true.
But here's the awesome news, and I haven't shared this with Tony or Kevin, so unless they saw it, but Mark Millar promises that Sentinels will be a major role in the next movie.
They have to be, like, you know what, that doesn't even surprise me. That kind of was a must. Ridiculous. If you didn't do that this time, I give up on all X-Men movies.
Yeah.
All we've had so far is one Sentinel head thrown through a cloud of mist. That's it.
But here's the real question. Are they going to be the massive purple, like, robot Sentinels that everybody's familiar with fighting in the video games? Or is it going to be that stupid, like...
Nimrod.
Not just the video games, either.
Are you guys familiar with Nimrod?
It sounds familiar.
Nimrod basically kind of looks like a sarcophagus for the Egyptian mummies.
Okay.
And he's fucking retarded looking. But, like, he's way more powerful, but he looks like something you'd carve out of soap. So,
okay, yeah. Yeah, that's kind of silly. I think they'll look like Sentinels, but I don't think they'll be purple. Because Bryan Singer doesn't make anything the color it should be.
Ooh. Interesting. Yeah.
So I think they'll look like Sentinels, but they'll probably be big kind of black or metal or gold.
So they're going to look like the giant new RoboCops.
Kind
of. I don't think they're going to be as huge from, like, how huge they were, like 10 stories tall. I see them being more maybe 10 foot tall. I don't see them human size.
No, see, I see them being, in my mind, they've got to be at least like 20.
But see, I don't see hand-to-hand combat, how that might work.
All kinds of robot.
But they never did hand-to-hand combat in the comic books. If you want to try and, like, appease the comic book fans.
Well, I'm saying, though, but for a movie, they want action, not necessarily comic book, you know.
Yeah.
Transformer size.
Yeah, Transformer size. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be interesting. So, can I ask you guys something about something?
Yeah.
Okay, I really, you know, of course, it was all a fanboy's dream to finally see Wolverine on screen.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it's a fanboy's dream to finally get on a podcast with us, but...
That too. But, okay. I was thrilled to hear Wolverine. You know, we're finally going to see him. X-Men came out, we saw Wolverine, and for that much, Hugh Jackman, I thought, did a good job. But I think to this point, not that I don't mind, I like, you know, I like his Wolverine, but I am a hardcore old-school Wolverine fan.
Yeah.
And I want to see, and if Batman can have so many incantations and incarnations and people can have their different outlooks on him, why the hell can't we see a different Wolverine at this point?
Twelve years
he's been playing him. Can we see our little crazy 4-foot raging hairy beast? I want to see that.
Glenn, but do you realize Glenn Danzig? What he wants is Glenn Danzig. playing. No.
Yeah, man. Well, I want a young Harvey Keitel playing it.
Hugh Jackman. Hugh Jackman is Wolverine. Totally, he hasn't aged at all in the last 12 years.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman has the fucking,
X-Gene.
Yeah, he does. Because somehow he's got that regenerative power. That motherfucker just gets younger.
Yeah.
Fuck
no,
that
don't
dude.
Don't get me wrong. I love Hugh Jackman. And I love what's happened. But I do think it is maybe time for just a fresh outlook. Do you know what I mean? Maybe a different outlook on all the X. I was hoping for this movie, they might actually try recasting a few roles and just for fun.
Well, I have not heard any rumor, so I have no intention that it's going to happen. But with the whole Japanese background to it, my prayer was that they would finally do justice to Psylocke in a movie. But
that'd be cool.
It's not going to happen. You know, like, no. And which is fine.
What book are they basing it on? An arc, Days of Future Past.
No. Well, no. I was talking the Wolverine, the new movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, the solo Wolverine. What's that?
What book is that from? Like, is it going to be from Logan? Is that it?
No, it's a lot of it's going to be based on the original Frank Miller series, the original Wolverine miniseries, that 4-issue miniseries where those books go for fucking mad cash always.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of it's going to be based on that. Okay. And I think there's going to be some stuff based on like just roughly in general, like the Kitty Pryde and Wolverine miniseries, but a lot of his, you know, Wolverine's time in Uncanny when he was in Japan.
It's going to be interesting them now doing this so close to Days of Future Past, because they've changed this, because most of this story in the comics for the Wolverine coming out, I believe, happened earlier in his life, whereas now they're taking place after X3.
No, well, okay, yeah. In the comics, this shit happened before like he joined X-Men. In the comics. In the movie.
Like in Canada?
What's that?
In Canada?
Well, no, it was post-Canada, but before Uncanny.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of a backstory type thing. However, in the movies, Days of Futures Past is going to be set in roughly 1973 from what I've read. And so, but when they jump to the future, that's well after. I mean, that's, I think that was like 2013 or 15, alternate universe type shit. Okay. So, but the movie, The Wolverine, is happening basically after X-Men 1, 2, and 3. Like, he's not ignoring all those things that happened. This is a standalone movie. And actually, even the movie that will not be named, with Wolverine in it, you know, that one where his name was pretty much the title.
It was somehow an origin story.
There was one or two cool scenes. Come on.
His
fake claws killing the sink in there. Like,
that was probably the best thing, is when he killed the sink. So, I mean, so it's going to happen after that as well. And apparently they're taking all that into consideration. But They're keeping it focused where all that's happened, but this is a solo standalone Wolverine story. Well, so
yeah.
For our listeners, what books do you guys read? Do you read many comic books? You still pick up anything new or?
Yeah, I buy a large quantity of the Batman family. All big right. Batman fans we are.
Yeah, you liking the story arc right now?
We read a couple, but what we'll often do is wait till they're all out and sit down and read them at once.
Yeah.
That's like heaven.
Hell yeah. I mean, we just got done recording. I was just got done reviewing Minutemen, the entire series. Cause,
I've been collecting that. I just got like the dollar bill and something else.
Yeah.
I thought the dollar bill was coming out at the end. So like I counted, there's like 34 of them already or some shit.
Holy really?
Shit. Yeah.
So what else do you guys read besides Batman? I mean, I know you guys picked up the Star Wars from Dark Horse, which was fantastic.
Yeah, it was beautiful, eh?
Saga.
That book made me think that the movie could be
Turtles.
Recast. Turtles Saga. A lot of my X-Men is in a weird fluxy state right now.
I just got Resurrection, six of them.
Because you know the X-Men title that just finished? Like, just straight up X-Men?
Which one?
Just X-Men.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The one title, it's just X-Men?
Yes, we call it the adjectiveless X-Men.
Yeah, so that one stopped, so I'm done with that one. And I did the whole A versus X thing, but I think right now I am down to the Wolverine, just solo title, Wolverine and the Uncanny X-Men, and I believe that's my only Marvel right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, we're big Marvel boys, which you guys know because you listen to the show, you know.
Yeah.
But Kevin tends to be kind of our DC guy.
Yeah, I'm definitely DC is my universe of choice.
Yeah,
I just bought. I just bought Batman and Son today. Like, I came here with that.
Yeah,
from
Grant
the comic
Morrison.
Shop.
Yeah, that's gonna be a good read.
Batman and Son. I just bought Swamp Thing book one.
The Saga of Swamp Thing. Who, you guys ever read the Saga of Swamp Thing?
Yeah,
and Ninja Actually, Turtle who, and Secret of the Foot Clan too.
Who did the art on that on your Swamp Thing?
It's the Alan Moore Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the old Swamp Thing.
Alan Moore, Steve Bissett, and
Tottleman. Yeah.
The new, if you guys haven't heard it, and I'm gonna plug our own shit here, but we had one of the most fun drunk interviews ever with Yannick Paquette, who is one of the main artists on Swamp Thing now, and he's gonna be back.
We've met him at the cons. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, he's great. Well, you know, and he's French Canadian. It's funny as hell because when we talk to him, like you're like, oh, he's got a little bit of an accent. Later on at night, when we're all like, you know, fucking three sheets and we're recording at 2:30 in the morning, sitting on the floor in the middle of a fucking hotel lobby, Tony's spilling his beer and breaking his phone. You know? His accent got so damn thick, it was awesome. But
it's good times. We have a really lucky amount. Like, we're lucky. There's so many good comic artists working out of the area right now on really big books, you know. There's a huge wealth of talent in Ontario. For some reason right now, it's a boom.
Yeah,
and it's great for our cons because they're all there. So
are there
it's
any
awesome.
Specific...
Like all your X-23 covers get signed.
Yeah.
Wait, who's working out of there from X-23 covers?
She's always there.
Kalman
Androvsky?
There you go.
Yeah. They're not... I don't know if that's a Canadian, but...
Well, he's going to be at Motor City, which I'm fucking thrilled about.
I'm pretty sure he is because I follow him on Twitter.
Well, we were gonna talk a bit about cons there.
Yeah. You guys are doing some cons coming up.
Yeah.
Or at least one. What do you got lined up?
Okay, what we got lined up for March is I got to start with the big one here. We're very lucky in Toronto to have like, you know, it's only second or third only to San Diego's Fan Expo Canada.
Yeah, I think if my numbers are right,
bigger, man.
San Diego, New York, and Toronto in that order, I believe.
Yeah, something like that. We almost hit 900,000 last year, I think.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's what they've done basically is the Metro.
I think it was like 9,000.
No, it's not 9,000. There's no way. Hey,
it's just a little thing,
dude.
It's just a little thing we got going on.
I think Potato Waste needs to flick his bick again.
Yeah, no.
Hey, here, let me help
dude,
you.
Dude, yeah.
Here, center yourself.
Cheers.
So, Fan Expo, it's huge to the point where the Metro Toronto Convention Center is two giant halls, basically, like or buildings. There's North Building, South Building, and for however many years it's been going now. The convention will be held in the South Building, and you'll get about, you know, 900,000 people in there or whatever, and it's just way too overblown now that you can't even breathe in there. So what they're doing this year for the first time is opening both buildings.
Oh.
Which is just fucking monstrous, right? So they also have smaller offshoots, because what they have at Fan Expo is they have... you know, there's the anime section, the gaming section, comic section, you know, all in, you know, different areas.
Yeah.
And what they'll have is individual cons throughout the year for each section. So this March, where we're going to have a booth, is the pure Comic-Con one.
Wizard's not even coming.
Yeah, Wizard is coming 2 weeks after that.
Are they really? Yeah.
Why does that not surprise me? Because did you guys hear about the shit in over on the Pacific Northwest of the U.S.? Where, you know, you got Emerald City Con, which is probably the biggest Pacific Northwest convention there is. And Wizard decided to do, like, you know...
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, we lost them.
All right. Well, we'll have to hit pause here for a minute, and we'll come right back. And here's here's where they would do the bat signal.
Good to go.
All right, so now that the boys from An Elegant Weapon have burned through their blunt and burned through their battery, and we got both recharged, we're back up and running.
Yeah, we're not drifting in space any longer.
Yeah, we're a little more centered.
Yeah. So, all right. So, guys, I mean, if your listeners haven't heard our podcast before, we do this little thing called Booze in a Book, where we pair an alcoholic beverage with a comic book. And I think you might have something for us this week.
I believe that we do, sir. What usually goes first, the book or the bud?
Normally, well, I don't know.
It doesn't really matter. We switch it up.
Whatever works better.
Okay, well, we're going to start with the bud then, because it's been of a backyard bunkie situation going on around here lately. You know, there's certain dry times and spells where things aren't spectacular, but just literally the other day, one of the nice harvests kind of came in, and the Purple Kush is making the rounds again. Now, Purple Kush is a beautiful bud. It's a fat, fluffy, soft, crystally bud. It breaks up well, it rolls smooth, and it's an excellent smoke. It's very, very potent, though. It's a potent enough stuff that, you know, expect to feel a little hazy for a bit, which is, sorry, completely off topic, but Cute Vixen just entered the room because she always comes for the weed, but today she's lucky really, because she's getting a cider.
Yeah, it's not really
Wait, now who is this?
She can't hear you guys. She doesn't have the headphones. This is my girlfriend, Erin. Well, she occasionally pops onto the show, but only because she comes for the weed.
Well, make her say hi so we can at least see her and she can
say
see
hi,
us.
Say hi, Erin. They want you to hear
it.
Hello! Hi, Erin, or Cute go. Vixen.
Everyone says hi. So anyways, yeah, this stuff's pretty potent. And, you know, it's one of those concentration weeds. It's not where you smoke it and you want to eat cereal and watch cartoons. This is like smoke it and I want to draw and I want to color type a bud. Okay, which makes it an excellent bud to go along with a certain book, being Purple Kush. We'd like to recommend The Killing Joke.
Ooh, nice.
You know, because if purple's your shade and you're out there and hazy and can't stand the madness, you want to read The Killing Joke, it's going to go, you know, it's going to be quite a trip to read along with this stuff, so...
excellent.
That's awesome. Well, yeah,
so that's our recommendation for Bud in a Book.
So in honor of you guys, we kind of switched up Booze in a Book to, you know, I don't know how you'd necessarily want to call it, but a concoction in a, or a something in a flick, something in a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't come up with a good name because we drink too much. but we want to pair a 45 ounce of Colt 45 with Empire Strikes Back for two reasons. Number one, who you got Lando Calrissian.
Lando.
Heck yeah.
But number two, Colt 45 and Empire Strikes Back, it works every time.
Bravo. Bravo.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So now... Before we get too far, you were on a previous podcast. You had some guys on, one in particular who this is kind of like his right now. This cross pod is pretty much his wet dream of podcasts, Mr. Jay Webb.
Jay Webb,
yeah. Yes. So and
hello, hello.
Yeah, and you can find him at Jay Webb on Twitter. You know, and go check out his blogs. And he writes for Intercomics, who is one of our sponsors. Awesome website.
Sketch battles.
Yes, yep. Sketch battles are sweet. Yep. But, you know, you were talking to him about Canadian superheroes and English superheroes and blah, blah, blah. So,
well, yeah, I've been dying to ask you guys, were you guys sad when Alpha Flight got canceled?
I've never read an Alpha Flight book in my life.
Yeah, I've never read an Alpha Flight
book. That is like your mascot.
It's not us, man. It's never been popular or famous here in any way. It's what we know you guys see as our superheroes, and it sucks.
As far as we know.
Because we really don't, it's, you know, the same comic books that are popular there are popular here, although, yeah, you can be sure that we're damn proud Wolverines and Canuck. Yeah. But really, honestly, I've never read one. They're not popular here. They've, you know,
well, they're not popular Canadian here anymore either, because it got canceled. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
now,
cool that it's part of the lore and Canadian-ness, but yeah.
Okay, so is there any little bit of like I'm offended by, you know, the Sasquatch, or I'm offended by Puck, the guy that's small and rubbery?
what you can look at it as is the time it came from. Like, what did they come out? The '70s?
Yeah, late '70s, early '80s.
Yeah, which at the time a lot of that stuff was cool in Canada. Like, it just made more sense for the '70s. They're very dated.
I like seeing that Stan Lee hockey stuff though.
That was cool. NHL with Stan
Lee. Wait! What the fuck are we talking here?
Yeah, he did some comic books based around hockey teams.
No, he
made a different hero for each hockey team.
Yeah, something like that.
So there was the Toronto, like it wasn't called the Toronto Maple Leaf, but he was basically a monster tree.
Each team
he designed a superhero mascot for.
All right, yeah. So we're actually big hockey fans, by the way. So are you guys Leafs fans?
No.
No?
Don't watch hockey anymore.
We don't watch hockey, really.
You're not true Canadians.
I know, it's in our constitution. We're not real Canadians, but we're just not hockey fans.
Yeah, but I mean, I suppose if I lived in Toronto, I wouldn't be a Leafs fan either. Go Wings, bitches!
Sure.
Although I got to give credit, I do like the Leafs just because they're original six. You know, so
you know, it is cool to like the city is hockey mad. Like you didn't want to be here for that time that strike was on.
I remember.
And no matter how much they lose, they'll sell out every game ever.
Well, yeah, they're kind of like the Cubs for baseball in America.
Yeah, it's a hardcore. If you're going to say anything, it's a religion here. It really is. Like, that stereotype is not a lie. There's a hockey rink on every fucking corner.
Blue Jays games, you know, for, like, $5.
My 2-year-old son is out skating with his grandfather right now. It's nice. It's a way of life. Yeah.
Yeah, no, so, awesome, guys. Well, hey, I think it's probably time for us to cut this short, because my beers are empty.
Oh,
and
mine is, too.
Yeah. And so I just want to say thank you to you guys for you know, bringing this up, approaching us about doing this, because this has been fucking fun as shit.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed it, man. I've been a fan of you guys since I first heard you, and thanks to you guys as well for doing this, because I had a blast.
Yeah.
You know, I believe you got a little cider wasted there, which is really, always a good sign.
I didn't even finish it.
Always a good sign that Sean had a good time.
By the way, it was really funny that like when he posted that on Twitter, because our booze in a book that we did today, which will be out a couple days probably before this podcast, I actually used a hard cider for booze in a book this week.
Nice.
And
nice.
I was like, yeah. I'm like, he's like fucking psychic. He's using his Jedi mind trick.
Good times. But yeah, man, let me just say one quick shout out in general. I just want to plug the Junk Food Podcast Network.
Hell yeah.
And there's, you know, junkfoodpodcastnetwork.wordpress.com. Go check it out. There's a whole bunch of geeks there just uniting and putting out a lot of fun stuff. So thank you again to you guys for allowing us to come by and hang out. We really appreciate it.
Now, where can people see you in person next? Like if they wanted to poke you with a stick.
Fan Expo Canada in March, the March Fan Expo Comic Con.
Okay.
We're going to have a booth there with Sparkle Girl Jen of Media Junk Food. So you can come by there, check out her awesome geeky wares.
Yep.
And we're basically going to be hanging out at the table. And, you know, we may have a few prints for sale. If anybody wants to check out Sean's art, you know, he's got Deviant and Tumblr. It's all on the website.
So. Sean, you're working on the 1159 comic with Greyhaven, aren't you?
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that.
Coloring Nick's stuff.
Yeah, Nick Francis, awesome guy. Cool. Well, for your listeners, and ours probably, hopefully they already know this, we'll be at Motor City Comic Con May 17th through the 19th in Novi, Michigan. And we will be at Grand Con here in Grand Rapids, Michigan, September, I think it's 9th? 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, something like that, whatever that weekend is, we'll be here too. And we're going to be popping around to some other conventions as well.
Good times. Yeah, we hope to be at it actually hasn't come up yet. I think it comes up soon to get your reservations for Fan Expo Canada. The big one in August. But we're gonna shoot for the media pass on that one. We're gonna try to get deep on into that one. So yeah. Hoping it goes well. So
yeah.
But there you go, yeah.
Yeah, so all right guys, well, you know, on behalf of an Elegant Weapon podcast, on behalf of Drunk on Comics, it's been fucking fun as shit.
we'll do it again for sure.
Yeah. We got to do this again. But all right, guys. I'm Derek.
I'm Tony.
You guys are?
I'm Jay.
I'm Jay.
I'm Sean.
All right, guys. Keep reading the comics. Keep watching those Star Wars movies. And we'll be back again to talk to you guys about them later.
Get it!